Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Damon Spire, Jamal McGlure, Joey Devine, Marcus Camby, Gary Trent, Sean Keane, Remus Vasquez, special guest Katie Heindel, Sean Wood, John Hyken, Eric Gunderson, musical guest Dan Fogelberg, and now the temporary host of the Round Ball Brock Podcast, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. Doing good.
Sick. Some business off the top, at Round Rock Pod on Twitter, roundrockpod@gmail.com, patreon.com/roundrockpod. And that's it. We've got a big show today. So, Sean, here's what we're doing. A bunch of our very good friends have started two new podcasts that we want you to listen to. And so I'm going to put 30 minutes on the clock, and we're going to give everybody time, 30 minutes to hype their new podcast. So here we go. Ready? 30 minutes starts right now. All right, I'm here with the host of the Basketball Podcast from Locked On Raptors, Sean Woodley, and from Vice Sports Canada and the Basketball Feelings newsletter, Katie Heindel. That's right. There's a new podcast in town starring our friends Sean and Katie called Basketball. Sean Woodley, Katie Heindel, how are you?
Ready to hype some shit up, baby.
I actually didn't prepare to hype anything up at all.
Look, I'm really only doing it because with both of these groups of people, having them on one episode, it could be 4 hours long.
It could be, yeah.
We've actually released an episode that was, I believe, 2 hours and 15 minutes long with just you and with Sean and Katie before, and I'm trying to avoid that.
It's fair. I do have to say that I really like how disdainfully you said, and then it made me realize that maybe my first plug is that basketball is like for everyone because it's your own interpretation of like how you say like,
how do you, say
it depends on the day, you know, like sometimes like I feel like mine's more open-ended. Yours was definitely like spiked.
Like basketball.
See,
like, and
That podcast is hosted by Jeff Van Gundy and Jackson, actually.
Katie, I will say my interpretation was much more of a triumphant Master P, No Limit Records way to do it.
Nice.
So more like, basketball. Yeah.
I mean, we might need an N in there, but I like that.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
See, when I hear
the show, yeah, I like to go with just like a full question.
Yeah, that's what I was
to the listener's interpretation. I believe there's a question mark in our cover art too, so I think that is technically the right way to do it.
Yeah, so it's more like
however you please.
So it's more like basketball.
Yeah,
That's how Sean says it.
I kind of play with the number of H's that are involved. You know, sometimes it'll be as many as one, and you know, all the way up to like 12 or 13 if I'm feeling really thirsty. But
you tweak your voice right up at the end, like it could shatter glass.
I do, yeah. It's like Mariah Carey shit.
It'll wake you up.
Did you guys consider any other names for the podcast?
There were a few, yeah. Katie had most of the good ones. I can't quite remember some of the other ones we had. I'm sure there was a doc somewhere with all the names.
My first one was just basketball, but then we were like, well, searching that might be a nightmare for some.
Katie has like an affection. Katie has like an affection for bogs and swamps as well. So the basket bog.
No, it wasn't the. It was just basket bog.
Just basket bog, right?
Yeah.
You're correct.
Yeah, just like the morass of the NBA.
Yeah,
I definitely made a bad decision when I started a weekly comedy show over 10 years ago, which has been in two cities now, by naming our show The Business. Because that is not Googleable anywhere.
That's just Googling America.
You know, The Business SF. Why wouldn't you easily find a comedy show in the first 15 pages of Google search results?
Let's see. The Business SF. When does this come up?
Probably giving Business Insider a lot of hits.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's the first thing on Facebook that comes up.
Wow.
There you go. You figured it out. We've risen to the top.
What
look how nice
like?
We are. Business. We're talking about Sean.
Yeah, why are we? They have half an hour. Stop plugging Sean's show.
We're on the clock.
Every Monday night. Also, my show will never come back, right?
Get out of here.
When are people going to bars again?
Come 25 on. Minutes. All right, Sean and Katie. What's the mission statement for your new podcast, Basketball?
Oh, there is one, but I don't remember what it is. But we had to come up with one for the marketing backing of the show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had like a long spiel that's on like our Patreon page, which you can go to at basketball or patreon.com/basketball with two H's.
How many H's at that?
Two there H's are two. That. Yeah, unfortunately, I lobbied for 12, but no dice. But no, there's like a long mission statement. And then like the tagline is it's the podcast we're pretty sure is about basketball, which I think sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, I like that. Do you guys have, okay, if your podcast was a member of the Toronto Raptors historically, what's its best comp?
Interesting. Well, it's pretty short-lived so far, so I'm going to go with someone with pretty
brief
like tenure.
It's Mac Biombo.
See, I was going to say is it Bebe?
Yeah, Bebe.
Yeah.
Bebe.
Because it's like, is he really about basketball or is he about the music? No,
that's
he's like a basketball player.
Yeah.
I was also going to suggest, like the Raptors have had a lot of very lovable upstart, like, second-round big men who have played, like, 40 games with the team, mm-hmm. who were, like, Pops Mensah-Bonsu or Quincy Acey. Mm-hmm. Like, I think maybe that's kind of the realm we're in right now, until we are around a little bit
sometimes,
longer, then we become the Oakley.
I'm really trying to drive it towards Psycho T territory. Like,
I've got to say, every time someone brings up Tyler Hansborough, I think about how his nickname is Psycho T, and that is, it's maybe the best, it's the best non-Magic Johnson, it's because it's so descriptive. Mm-hmm. For what Tyler Hansborough's deal was,
I have no question at all.
Well, it's such a weird nickname that somebody got when they were like the best player in college basketball at the time,
yes.
Or at least I don't know, the most college. He's like the most college basketball guy too.
Yes,
yeah, he's got Kevin Pitsnoggle ass energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have, and when I hear Psycho T, it evokes even like a specific facial expression for me. And there's not a lot of nicknames that do that. Where I'm like, oh, I remember when he opened his eyes way too wide that time.
And... You know who had a great time, who had a great game destroying Psycho T one time?
Who's that? Anthony Randolph.
It was Anthony Randolph. My man, Psycho Ant Rand. But we're not here to plug Anthony Randolph's great games. 22 minutes.
basketball.
How many episodes of basketball are there so far?
Three.
Which one's the best one?
The most recent one, I think, probably.
Actually, you know what? I think the best one we ever recorded was the first one, which we did in studio, but it was like before it launched, so it was just kind of like a run through. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely the most natural. We were in the same room. It was like there was a lot more riffing. There's like a producer that sits in and another guy like who like runs the whole network. And I felt like I was really showing off. I don't know. I like went to a place. I don't think I've ever gone on being on any other podcast before. It was extremely performative for myself.
We were
doing voices and stuff.
No, I was just like too confident. Like I might've like slapped somebody if they interrupted.
You became like a, You became like Chris Broussard, just like a hot take machine.
Yeah.
No.
The thing about having feelings on the court is if you don't have feelings off the court, you've got to get out of the game, man.
No, it wasn't that kind of like slow, misplaced confidence. It was like hot. It was like a wily. It was like a Psycho T energy, I think.
It really was just like two Psycho T's staring at each other with microphones in between them, is basically what it was. Also, it was recorded the Monday before the pause. And
the pause is that what you're calling the pause?
Yeah, you're calling it the pause?
The great pause.
The pause.
You know, it was still in the before times. But what we were talking about playing games in arenas with no fans, and that like at a time where it was still just kind of like this fun oddity. There wasn't really any. This was only 2 days away from everything happening, but at that time, it just felt like, oh yeah, this is going to happen. Oh. It'll go away real fast. Mm-hmm. And we had some fun with it, and then it got like, out of date.
We were like, oh, if I bet someone in the NBA is going to get COVID-19. We're like, who do you think will be the first when? I think we talked about that.
It's
did you
like,
say
it
Rudy
definitely
Gobert?
Won't be the, yeah. Would it be the funniest? Would it be the funniest possible person?
I think I
Rudy
said
Gobert.
Like Rudy, yeah, well,
we yeah. Were,
yeah, I think he did.
Because we recorded it the day the Raptors played the Jazz.
Yes.
It was like their last game, and they won that one. But it was like that was like the morning where Rudy Gobert was touching all the microphones like a dipshit. Mm-hmm. And that was why I think you ended up predicting him. So, yeah, So, the Katie, original basketball had a lot of premonition to it.
So, Katie, what you're saying is you're a precog from Minority Report, and you could have stopped this entire thing? Cool, cool. But instead you used it on a rehearsal podcast? Great way to use your powers.
I told you, I channeled like into a new part of myself, and the only way to get back there and start like predicting the future, I guess, is to like get back in the studio. Get hot.
But you're gonna cause another pandemic if you ever get back in the studio again.
I think it's worth it for like what came out of that. Like, it's okay.
We will have to release that maybe to the Patreon people at some point, because it was really fucking good.
Did you feel like Rudy Gobert? Like everything every mic I touch is going to turn to gold.
No. I still don't really think that's what he thought. I certainly think he values himself that high, but I don't know if that's what he was going for.
All right, 18 minutes.
Done a better job plugging Rudy Gobert and Sean's comedy show.
Katie, if we have you on the podcast, we have to ask you about quarantine social media. Who's doing the best so far?
I think it's taking a turn. I think, unfortunately, Paul Millsap's been kind of quiet.
Yeah,
our favorite.
I've noticed.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, because I thought he was doing quite well.
He got too into his hobby.
It might have consumed him. Or maybe he went to, like, some strange... Maybe he, like, cast some real, like, occulty spells, and he saw some shit that he wants to forget. So he's
stuck in a glass box in his basement that he can't get out of.
Uh-huh. Well, he has a brother, right? Wait, what's his brother's name? It's Elijah. Yeah. Uh-huh. He and Elijah Millsap are working on their The Prestige right now.
Right.
But I think, like, honestly, Jimmy Butler, but I don't, like, again, I don't really think... He's just stoked because he's like, oh, I can work out all day and like be outside with my shirt off. But also he's like, and then I can eat bad food. I can be bad. So that's fun to see.
Yeah, because he's got his own gym that he's waking up at to work out in the middle of the night. But he does miss the live excitement Kenny Chesney concert. That's what he misses the most. Not basketball, but live country music. His true passion.
Also, I think Kyle Kuz was doing pretty well romantically because he started dating the model Winnie Harlow while in quarantine.
Now yeah, but we'll see together. Now that once they can see each other how that goes. You know what I mean?
They're together. They're physically together.
What? Wait a second. You can't do that.
Quarantine.
You can't do that. That's a problem.
You can't.
No.
I have a friend who started a romantic relationship during quarantine, and I was just like, what is happening here? Like a month in. Like a month in you're dating?
Who's handling it worse? The worst, Katie? Who's handling it the worst? Is it because he's sad he can't hang out with Bill Clinton anymore?
They Zoom every week.
They probably do.
The Zoom call is with Hillary, Bill, that lady who did Weinstein's PR.
And Ghislaine Maxwell.
Still living Jeffrey Epstein, wherever he's hiding.
He's just become like a gross, like a food pranker. I feel like this was a thing like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, like on social media, mm-hmm. or like making the weirdest combinations of food that you can. But he seems like extremely passionate about it. And like, I think I'm worried, like Sean and I did talk about this on basketball last week. Because
you gotta say that with more confidence, Katie. Yeah. That sounded
I'm trying different ones on for
but
size.
That one to me, yeah, well, but I'm telling you right now, that one was a little bit too much like you're an alien who is being tested on what a thing is, and they held up a ball, and you were like, a basketball? Is that A basketball?
Did you guys ever consider a basketball, by the way?
Oh, like EH, the Canadian thing. Yeah. No, but that's not Canadian a bad basketball. Alternative option.
That's pretty bad, Sean.
It's a basketball.
Anyway.
Two basketballs.
Please stop this. What I was going to say was we talked about how Ennis is like destroying a new waffle iron like several times based on the shit that he's like putting in it to make fake waffles.
Katie, do you like pranks or magic better?
Pranks.
Okay.
When I used to work at a Tim Hortons back when I was an idiot high school
kid, yes, this is that Canadian shit I want to hear.
We used to play this game because I used to work there with my cousin, and we would like get stuck together on the afternoon shift together, and it was a nightmare. But we would play this game where we would have five ingredients from the entire pantry, and we had to make the grossest possible donut and force the other person to eat it. And that's basically what Ennis Cantor's doing every day to himself. He's like, there was one, what was it, Katie? He put like jelly beans and gummy worms into the waffle iron just to see what happened.
Yeah, like sour gummy worms and jelly beans.
Yeah. This past, one of the first ones he did was he made like a skillet cookie, put a bunch of full chocolate bars on top of the cookie, and then put another cookie on top of it.
A cookie dough from the tube.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Ennis Cantor. All right, 12 minutes. Sean Woodley, if we have you on the podcast, we have to ask you a specific question as well. And that is, what do you think Terrence Ross is doing right at this moment?
Uh-huh. He's just, like, having a good time with his family. He's, like, kind of boring, and it's disappointing to me. I think he's probably pretty excited that he doesn't have to go very far for the Disneyland plan, which is good for him. I'm glad he doesn't have to leave his family behind. But no, he's been pretty tame. And like, he's kind of like a wife guy anyway. Like, he just like likes to hang out with his wife and his kid. And
he likes getting
and
buckets
nice,
and he likes his wife.
Basically it,
He went to a really depressing... He went to a really depressing like wildlife park in Florida where you have to sit in your car.
Right.
And he took a picture of everything. There's like bisons and weird, like it was extremely misplaced, but he looks so bored.
All right, that leads me to my last question for you guys though. All right, so the NBA, first off, 11 minutes. The NBA claims they're gonna open in Walt Disney World here next month. So our question for you, our final question for the basketball hosts, is which Raptors will most thrive in a postseason amusement park environment?
Katie, you can go first if you'd like.
This is just a gut feeling, but I think Norman Powell.
I think both Norm and Pascal are kind of cut from the same cloth, where they're like work guys, like put in the work in the gym type dudes. And I don't think they're gonna care where they're doing that. I think the like location is kind of irrelevant to them. I also don't think either of them have any sort of significant other or kids, so I think
they're lonely.
Well, Norm has his little dogs,
right? Yeah,
so I don't know what will happen to them, but no, I didn't think of that in terms of work ethic. I thought of it because if there's anyone who's gonna lean extremely hard and like find some, they're gonna like enjoy the novelty of being at Disney World, and I could picture them looking like Norm looking, trying to look extremely hard but with like Mickey Mouse ears.
I wonder if any of them's gonna like brand, like, get their like personal brands touched up with Disney elements. Like,
I mean, there's
Pascal
so many
Siakam
options,
logo,
right?
The Siakam logo basically is a Disney thing, right? It looks like when Disney tries to make like a nice thing.
I'm really worried about Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry, because I think they're just like maybe kind of happy being homebodies with their kids, and I don't think they're gonna want to go anywhere. I'm not sure they're gonna have the buy-in.
They're bringing their kids with them to Disney World. That's the problem with this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
God, I hate it so much.
I haven't talked about it on the show, but because you only have 9 minutes, I'll say it in 20 seconds and we'll talk about it more later. I think it's gross and I'm disappointed in the NBA. All right.
Oh, can I? Do you guys know what Disney bounding is?
Fuck no.
No.
What is that?
Disney bounding is when, generally this is an adult, goes to Disneyland dressed as a Disney character.
Mm-hmm. Like what Brooke and Robin do all the time.
Yeah, they do it all the time. It's actually, they actually ban it a lot at Disneyland for special events because it's just like way too creepy. I think you can do it if you're like 13 or younger, but they're just like, we cannot have man dressing up as Gaston again.
This sounds creepy whether or not there is a special event going on. This sounds bad always.
Well, Brooke and Robin famously...
Peter Pan is a problem.
Brooke and Robin famously met the person in charge of Disneyland one time while they were both dressed as Tron.
Of course they did.
all right, 8 minutes. Who's going to... Which Raptor's going to... Well, okay, which ride... Who's going to like riding the rides the most from the Raptors? Like, who is Nick Nurse going to have to pull off some rides, like 10 minutes before a
playoff game? Oh, it's for sure Chris Boucher.
But I think Chris Boucher might have a problem with height restriction, so he might have, like, a certain amount of rides he's limited to going on safely.
See, I don't think that's true, because I once rode the Harry Potter ride at Universal Studios Hollywood right after Anthony Davis. Like, I saw him get on and get off the ride. And you know what? If Anthony Davis can ride it, Chris Boucher can ride any ride. You know what I mean?
I feel like he's going to be too tall, but he's, like, so skinny that they're like, sorry, this protective belt, it won't lock that
just
that
sliding
out
of the
down.
Restraints. Yeah. I guess, that's more of a concern than the height to me, for sure.
I think Marc Gasol is really going to like it. Because they have all those, fake international places, so he can go wherever he wants.
Gonna like, what's that called? Is that Epcot?
Epcot.
Yeah.
He's gonna love Epcot man.
Serge Ibaka, too, for that matter, if we're talking people who are gonna like Epcot.
I think Serge will go in, but then get bored. And
Serge might have, connects from when he was down there playing for the Magic. Like, he might know, the good spots to go. I don't know. Is that a thing in Disney? I've never been.
Don't,
what do you mean? Like the secret cool spot?
Yeah, like the secret hip, like dive bars. And I don't fucking know. No. I've never been. What is, can someone explain to me exactly, like, how Disney works?
Not in 6 minutes. Which is
like... gotta get back on track.
Yeah, let's get back to promoting a basketball.
basketball!
That's how Corbin would say it.
He'd actually be like making, like doing a tea service right now and just clanking everything together. And just like, oh, these scones!
I think I can actually explain Disney World in five and a half minutes. It's a theme park, man, but it's the best theme park. It's the first, it's the best and greatest. So, like, and there's different lands. You can go to lots of things. I don't know. You should go, Woodley. You'll like it. Disney World's fun.
You've never been to World, though, right, Joey?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I think Disney World is... Well, actually, Disneyland has gotten closer to Disney World because it is a surprisingly large amount of stuff and places, mm-hmm. especially in Florida.
Yeah.
Like, it really is almost like kind of like an independent city. Basically is politically in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. It's like, but it's like the Vatican in Anaheim.
Yeah. it's the Disney Holy See.
Yeah.
Like, Sean, I think the thing to remember is that, like, Walt Disney, when he was building Disney World, a Nazi sympathizer, bought up a bunch of unusable, unwanted land in the middle of the swamp because he knew he could just do what he wanted with it and like be completely lawless. So that underbelly, I feel like I've been there twice as a kid and once as an adult. And that like is kind of seething under the surface at all times, I feel like. In good, like in kind of twisted ways.
There's also a bunch of amazing, in Florida in particular, there's a bunch of amazing futuristic stuff that was built 25 years ago, but is still like the house of tomorrow. And it's like, yeah, you can video call from any room in the house to any other one. The music changes when the kid walks into the house of tomorrow. They just like, it's wrong about a lot of things, but they buy in really hard to those. Anyway, it's great.
I'm foggy on the logistics of how the doomed NBA plan is going to work. Like, are they going to have the shit open if they have families there to like go on? Is it just going to be like a ghost town?
It is worthless to me. If the park is not open to the players, I don't know what the point is.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest bugs. Me is just Disney, like NBA players and only NBA players in an amusement park for like a month.
it sounds like the plot of fun to think about.
I like that better than thinking it's open because it's also extremely problematic. Even though Florida doesn't give a shit, but like it seems extremely problematic to open it and to have people working the rides and like being there just at the behest of like NBA players and their families. Yeah. So I don't really like that at all.
Yeah, I don't either. Again, I don't want to talk about it because you have 2 minutes.
Promoting
Disney World. But I also think I will use that as like a good kind of segue into it, to be sincere, what Sean and I do talk about, which is like, you know, we'll be funny. We do our little jokes. We riff around a lot. But I also really enjoy like talking about serious and uncomfortable things. And I mean, I like Joey and Sean, I know we've done it on this podcast a few times, but it's nice to have a place to do that and to also like do some feelings kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for me, it's like a natural, of the first place I can kind of flow around through all of those weird things, like a basket bug.
Well, that's a perfect closing statement. Sean Woodley, minute and a half, go.
Well, like, I don't know. You guys know from Katie's appearances on this podcast that she's like one of a kind and her brain is a special thing. And it is really fun doing that podcast because like we do similar dumb shit on the Raptors show when she's on it, but it's less, you know, we have to kind of keep it within the realm of the Raptors for the most part. Whereas now it's kind of like the whole world is open to us, and I really do just feel like I'm a home run derby pitcher, just like throwing little like meatballs up to Katie, who is in this case like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and just smacking them 500 feet. And it's great because Katie just takes everything I serve up in a wonderful direction.
But I hate baseball. So unfortunate that you used that analogy, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I think if you hate baseball, I think you would like Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Okay.
Well, I know who he is.
Stop talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They have 20 seconds. Woodley, tell them where to listen in 18 seconds.
Yeah, all your podcast providers, patreon.com/abasketball, 2 T's. On Twitter, you can find the links and stuff. That's like 12 seconds. That's professional. Right. Done.
2, 1. You really, you hit that. It just, my timer just went off.
Well, in fairness, we had a countdown going the entire time.
Yeah, that was.
I never felt like I was unawares as to where we were.
All right, you're going overtime. This is not soccer; it's basketball. All right, I'm gonna let you guys go. Thank you, Sean and Katie, and we've got to call Eric and Sean Heiken now. So we'll do that right now. All right. We're here with our friends Sean Heiken and Eric Gunderson. You might know Sean
from writing for Bleacher Report, former Bulls beat writer, former Blazers beat writer, now national columnist for Bleacher Report, and Eric Gunderson from USA Today's LeBron Wire, from the Associated Press. But mostly what you're going to know them from now is from their brand new podcast, feel free to comment, the Survivor's Remorse podcast. I'm going to put 30 minutes on the clock. Eric, Sean, we're a go. Tell the listeners about Feel Free to Comment, your new
podcast. Sean, you want to go first?
So I guess to tell you about our podcast, we should also probably tell you guys about Survivor's Remorse, which is a TV show.
On Stars.
It's on Stars.
With a Z, not with an S.
The premium cable network Stars, which is why nobody has seen it except for me and Eric. But it was executive produced by LeBron James. It was kind of the first big project that him and Maverick Carter and Rich Paul kind of did as
show him some respect. His name is Mav. All right, keep going. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, my bad. And so, and I mean, the premise of the show, it's basically like a fictionalized version of LeBron's life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about an NBA player who is kind of trying to navigate the things that come with being an NBA player. Like, his family is with him for the whole show. And it's kind of, it's a lot, there's a lot of stuff in the show that, it's basically like if Ballers was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I've gone with it. Is it's like Ballers, but it's like, I don't know, it's funnier. It's definitely like, it's a very, it's, you know, very, very well written show. I think, you know, at times maybe a little overwritten, but ultimately I think it's a great show. And it is, I mean, the lines in it are incredible. The actors are great. And also I think it's a fictionalized version of LeBron's life, but then also it's obviously, you know, LeBron's story is not that relatable for most people because he's LeBron James. And so they had to make it like a more believable version of like someone becoming an NBA star in 2014 that was like, you know, kind of like, he's kind of like a CJ McCollum type where he like went to a small school and then like was on a lower contract with, and then got a bigger contract. And so that's kind of like where the show is. It's like, but they use like actual moments from LeBron's life to like use as like story points, like for the shoe negotiations and stuff like that. Like there, and tons of other stuff.
And so we decided to start a podcast about it because, first of all, it's a show that, you know, we both really like, and it's also a show that like nobody has, like I said, nobody has seen it except for the two of us.
Right.
And
LeBron James probably, and like,
yeah, he's probably watching it.
Do you think LeBron's seen every episode? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I think he has seen it because I mean, his fingerprints are all over it in terms of just like, different, like there are things where you know you watch like different things that happen in the show and you can just go, yep, that's the LeBron influence, like LeBron put that in there.
Yeah. I mean, even stuff that is like stuff that I'm not going to say on here, but you can see it and you're like, oh my god, the LeBron is really involved in this. And it will be very easy.
Is it like
it'll be very easy to tell. What?
Are you guys saying that there's a Delonte West figure who has sex with the protagonist's mom?
Well, his mom does start dead. At one point, his mom does start getting...
Oh my god, yeah. There's multiple scenes where he hears... Well, at the very beginning, where he hears his mom getting piped. Like, everybody in the house hears it, because she has, like, a boyfriend, and everyone's hearing it. And then she ends up dating... Spoiler alert, because no one's seen the show, and I don't feel like it's spoiling anything. She ends up dating the owner of the Chinese shoe brand that Cam Calloway signs with. There's really one thing that I wish in Survivor's Remorse there was more of is interactions with teammates. There's literally none of that.
So wait, the LeBron stand-in's name is Cam Calloway on this show?
Cam Calloway.
So like one word away from being the guy who sang Minnie the Moocher? Okay.
Well, and do you feel like Cade Cunningham was inspired at all by this?
Like, could be. I don't know.
You know what? Maybe Cade Cunningham has seen the show, and his parents have.
He's young, but he's not that young that his parents named him during the, you know, while the show was on. All right. He's not Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is literally a baby.
Yeah, that's true. He could have been named Cam Calloway.
All right, 25 minutes. Guys, how many episodes of your podcast so far have you recapped? How many episodes of Feel Free to Comment are there so far?
Well, we just finished season one on that just went up this week. And we have season two coming out tomorrow or Tuesday.
We're putting them out two a week, just Tuesday and Thursday, but we're like way ahead of, you know, what we've, because we aren't really like the episodes are pretty short. They're like 20 or 25 minutes each. And we're just really kind of just talking about like the episodes and how different things in the episodes relate to like LeBron's career. We aren't really like, they aren't really time sensitive. And so we aren't really putting them out as we recorded. We're a full season ahead. Like season two is fully in the can recorded. We're going to do season three this week,
wow,
but we're still just putting the episodes out two a week, and so we're right now scheduled through June.
So once you guys burn through the entire season, are you gonna do the rewatchables and rewatch them with guests?
No, we might. I don't know.
I mean, we could if we get. Hey, listen, this is part of us being on here is to get some fucking guests, and also but obviously we'd love to have people involved with the show on the show. I mean, we know that people involved with the show know we exist, but wild, to the extent we don't. Yeah. But it's like, anyway, so
it's just a matter of like, we gotta, you know,
we have to have content.
Also. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you guys watch the show and then we'll have you guys on to talk about what you think about it.
Sure. We can do that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so something Sean and I wanted to do with you is because, again, there's only three seasons of Survivor's Remorse.
Four.
Excuse me. Sorry.
It's four.
Four.
Baby.
Four and one 6-episode season.
Sean and I wanted to pitch you some other NBA produced television shows and ask you whether or not you would do a podcast about them.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Sean, would you like to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Okay, so this one is set in Brooklyn, New York, in a universe that's very much like ours. It's about a guy named Cam Irving and his good friend Cam Durant. they explore fantastic phenomena and unexplained things. Cam Irving is kind of more like a Fox Mulder type who really wants to believe in these things because he just keeps thinking about conspiracies because there was a childhood incident where he escaped the inside job of 9/11, mm-hmm, and he's been obsessed with it. Whereas Cam Durant is a little more grounded, though he's like, yeah, we can investigate these paranormal things, but the best way to do it is just by interrogating people on Instagram. So that's kind of the tension. And the show's called The Nets Files. And sometimes they get information from a cigarette smoking man named Vlade Divac. So yeah.
Okay.
All right. And his consigliere Vivek.
Yes.
So the Kings are tampering with the Nets in this scenario, basically trying to sabotage them. Is that?
No, just Vlade knows where a lot of bodies are buried. He hasn't even thought it through that much. That's the thing that makes, like, he actually reveals a lot of conspiracies because he's, like, he's kind of not working that hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In his quote-unquote job as the general manager of the Kings?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And he was very successful as a detective, but hasn't been very successful as an informant.
Yeah, he's been promoted to this government position where he oversees a lot of stuff, but people are just kind of like, you know, it just seems like he's moving people from one department to the other and like overpaying FBI agents. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like he doesn't have a plan at all. And that's kind of the you know, Cam Irving on the show believes that there's a plan behind everything, and that's what's so shattering about talking to the cigarette smoking man is that he just behaves. It's like he has no plan at all. You know, it's not even a conspiracy.
a quick aside about Survivor's Remorse is that Cam Calloway's character, they wrote in some conspiracy theories that he believes in that are totally related to Mr. Irving.
Let's hear some of these conspiracy theories.
Oh God, what was the last one, Sean, that they just had? It was like
when he was on the MRI table when he had the
knee. That's right. Yeah, he had a knee injury. He's like, they're gonna put me in a tube and then I have cancer, and then you're gonna kill me, and it's like, and then we're all gonna die. And it's like it's just going crazy.
And actually, spiraling. And actually the nurse that is gonna stick him with whatever the anesthesia is. He looks at it, and I think they put this in there specifically for you guys. He says, you know, he looks at the needle, and he's like, how do I know you're not going to stick me with some Tuskegee Airmen poison experiment? So they know about the John Collins dunk before the John Collins dunk happened.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's – this conspiracy is real. Yeah.
I mean, it's based in Atlanta. I mean, John Collins may have gotten the inspiration from Survivor's Remorse, for all we know. Got to keep your third eye open. I mean, there's a lot of it's a hilarious show, and there's ridiculous moments. And also, remember when LeBron got in trouble for rapping along to that song and saying that his money – he was rapping along to a 21 Savage song where he said, I'm getting Jewish money. Everything is kosher, and a lot of people freaked out about it. They have not watched Survivor's Remorse, because if they had, they would be very upset. Shit in there, and it's like there was one scene where the owner of the team is an Irish guy from Boston, and he's like a Steve Ballmer, Mark Cuban type of guy, but
super
he's like,
hands-on owner, super enthusiastic,
Reggie, Cam's agent slash manager, who is like a Rich Paul slash Maverick Carter hybrid character, is trying to make Cam more money. And so he asked this guy to get him in touch with a money guy. And so he goes and meets this guy named, I think it was like Ira. I forget what his last name is. But anyway, it's based off of a real person named Paul Wachter, who is this very old connected Jewish man who has helped make LeBron a bajillion dollars. And like
before he died in that high speed car accident, rest in peace, Paul Wachter. See you again, baby.
but anyway, they introduce him, and he's like, yeah, he said that you're, you know, really good, that you're kind of quirky. He's like, yeah, because, you know, he'd get offended when I call him a greedy Jew and shit like that. And like, that's, it's just crazy. And it's like, there is some very hardcore, frankly, racial things that are brought up in this show, and like ethnicity things, that it's crazy. It's very like quiet part out loud stuff. It's very
I mean, it's a show's on Stars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
TVMA on Stars. I'm just saying, I'm not agreeing with any of the things that are said, but what I am saying is that LeBron's Jewish humor things and things that he loves about Jewish people, even though two episodes ago he's like, Jewish people, man, I love how funny you guys are, man. And it's like, I feel like everyone just dropped down his throat. He's just like, LeBron really loves Jewish people.
This is the episode that LeBron guest starred in, by the way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Who does LeBron play?
And he's wearing a yarmulke. Oh, yeah. Who does LeBron do? Does LeBron play LeBron?
He plays the Hebrew hammer.
There's an episode where Reggie is invited to this high stakes poker game with the owner of the team, and then it's like Tom Werner, who's one of the owners of the Red Sox, and like some other people, it's basically like a billionaire poker game that he gets invited to as like a rite of passage, and LeBron is at the game.
Wait, what team does Cam play for?
Atlanta. They don't say the Hawks because they don't have the rights to it, but Atlanta.
Okay, but he plays in the same league as LeBron. Interesting. Uh-huh. Interesting choice.
It's implied. Right. Yeah, and that LeBron,
they're in the same league as like the Miami Sharks, right?
Well, they don't really say
from any given Sunday.
Sure, sure.
Yes, it's a hybrid sports league.
All right, 16 minutes. The show I have to pitch for you guys is about a player who plays in Miami. He gets very, very fat, and then he takes too much weed. Gets kicked off the team, and instead of re-signing with another team, becomes an anti-weed
legalization lobbyist in Washington, D.C., and it's produced by Dion Waiters.
What's the title?
I know what the title is.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I think the title is Stay Off the Weed, and they get Stephen A. Smith to do the theme song.
I like it. I like it. Yep, yeah. That's right. That's right.
He just yells the title every episode in a different...
Stay Off the Weed! God. I mean, LeBron might get his hands in producing that. I mean, they're teammates now.
How many episodes do you think that would get on Stars? No, you know what? I think that wouldn't be on Stars. That would be on Encore.
Yeah.
What is Encore?
I could
see that being an Epics series as well.
Encore was part of the Stars family, and then I think it got liquidated. Am I right?
It was like the HBO 2 of Stars.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And they would always show like the movies that were like on Stars like a year before.
Yeah. Okay. It's like, hey, you guys probably didn't probably remember this independent film from 1994 we got the rights to in 2002. Well, it's coming to Encore in 2003.
Okay.
Get ready for Kicking and Screaming by Noah Baumbach. Ran once a day on Encore for 7 years.
So that's the channel that the Dion Waiters anti-weed show is going to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it's going to be on Quibi.
Oh no, yeah. I have a Quibi show for later. I have a Quibi show for later. Oh, don't worry.
I'm sorry, because
this is sort of an Aaron Sorkin-esque show about lobbyists in Washington. This is an hour long, I think. It's less of a sitcom. It's
okay.
It's like The Newsroom, but
about... lots of very rushed dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of walk and talks. It's about the backroom dealings. And again, it's about an anti-weed lobbyist.
Yeah.
Who smokes weed when he goes home later?
Like he spends
all day like lobbying against weed and goes home and rolls a fat blunt.
Yeah, he lost his job because of weed. All right. I have a question for you guys about Survivor's Remorse. And it's, could they have chosen a worse title for this show than Survivor's Remorse?
The title probably does not help its case.
It is honestly probably the thing that holds it back the most is the name of the show.
Because and people, it kind of sounds like a Survivor, the reality show after show.
Mm-hmm.
Like
with the winners and they feel bad.
Tribal council. Yeah, like
talking remorse.
Your Survivor's Remorse? And it's like, you know, trusting Jade, you know, she backstabbed me. And then other guys like, well, you know, I should have held on to that pole longer in the individual immunity challenge.
Not learning how to swim.
Richard Hatch hosts this show because he has too much tax debt that he has to get out of.
Yeah, and he's nude. He's nude every episode. And they don't censor it because he's just really
because
soft.
It's on Stars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's on Stars. They're like, yeah, you think we have a lot of gratuitous nudity on this show? Well, here's unadulterated male nudity every single episode Richard Hatch.
Here's Richard Hatch, the winner of Survivor Season 1, hanging dong.
Hell yeah, dude.
Another question I have for you is, did LeBron's love of super teams cause him to make a mistake by putting this show on Stars?
He's just like, Mav, you gotta get me with some Stars on this. And they're like, okay, well, we'll get you a meeting with Stars.
I mean, I have no idea, but yeah, it beat on Stars also doesn't help its case. And that's, I mean, they probably just got the most money from Stars is probably what happened. I mean,
I think if this show was on Netflix or HBO, a lot of people would talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just think Stars probably just overpaid to be associated with LeBron James.
And are just like, and then they got screwed and they're like, we didn't get Million Dollar Mile. We didn't get The Wall. We didn't get Taco Tuesday, the animated series.
We got Survivor's Remorse.
They don't even have the syndication rights for Trainwreck.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Maybe they'll get Space Jam 2. Which, by the way, we got an email. We're here with LeBron experts. So we got an email earlier this week. Have you seen the leaked footage of Space Jam 2 yet, guys?
I have not.
No, I have not.
Well, let me just explain to you what happens in this.
It's a couple months old, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on.
By the way, remember that the title of the film is Space Jam, yeah. A New Legacy, not so, Space Jam 2.
Our friend Patrick Goldman emailed us this leaked, so it's leaked footage, and in it, in the Space Jam 2 leak, it appears that in Space Jam 2 are the Jim Carrey's The Mask, the Joker, Pennywise, and the Wicked Witch of the West.
Wow.
Preston, so it's kind of like a
Kingdom
fight.
Hearts thing?
Yeah, it's like a Kingdom Hearts thing, I guess, with basketball. Okay. But my question for you guys as LeBron experts is do you think he's just a really big fan of Jim Carrey's The Mask?
Eric, I'll defer to you on this one. You're
I definitely think he is. I guarantee you he loves that shit. I mean, LeBron loves like just an absurd performance. He loves people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think unfortunately I think he is a big fan of that movie, and you know, I'm spitballing here, but I'm assuming it's something that he's into. I mean, he's more I know that he's really into watching Martin reruns. Mm-hmm. Something that I know about LeBron. But and they reference that on the show also. They reference watching Martin reruns. I guess that he is a Jim Carrey guy, probably. Unfortunately, he probably is.
Do you think that in his first big breakout game against the Pistons, where he scored 52, what was that in the playoffs? 55, whatever it was.
25 straight.
Oh, 25 straight in a quarter. Do you think he looked at Ben Wallace and went, "Somebody stop me"?
I mean, LeBron does probably feel like we live in a society.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
So speaking of LeBron being a fan of Martin, the actress who plays Cam's mom in the show is Tanisha Arnold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have another pitch for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is kind of like when you see, this is sort of inspired by
8 minutes, by the way. Keep going, Sean.
when you see a trailer for like a dramatic film that's been recut to look like a wacky comedy,
mm-hmm. Okay,
it's this, but with the whole Jailblazers era in Portland. They all live in a house together, and it's called Just the 12 of Us. And Mike Dunleavy is like the house mom, basically, mm-hmm. of this team. And they've just, it's all the wacky hijinks. Basically, everything happens exactly the same way. But instead of the Portland media being really hysterical about all of it, they actually just appreciate that Rasheed Wallace is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes, he's kind of like, I imagine him almost as that Cody character from Step by Step.
Mm-hmm.
Who shows up and it's like, oh, he wants him to cut a check again.
Now, is this the same?
You're gonna babysit, but you're high again.
And then last track.
Now, is this the same house that this house that they all live in? Is it the same house that Zach Randolph like had to hide out in when Ruben Patterson punched him in the face?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a plot line, but it's played very wacky.
Well, yeah, my question was going to be, what season do they add Zach Randolph? Is he there from the start, or does he come in like Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch?
Well, I think they bring in, I think he's more of a Cousin Oliver. The real Cousin Oliver is when they bring in the 7-foot Korean guy, and people are like, oh, this is kind of racist. Yeah, we got to get him out of here. Like they stage a fight where it's like, oh, he's got to go back to Korea because he got in that fight with the pole.
He was so big. Like, I don't think, it's hard to, like, grasp how giant Ha was. Like, he was fucking huge, but he was terrible.
Yeah.
Was so bad at basketball. I mean, he was so fucking bad.
Ha-Swang Jen was the only old player that they're not going to do a prime Ha-Swang Jen was a problem to.
Right. Yeah, there isn't even a minute of footage for a mixtape.
No one could be like, Ha Sung Jin was a bucket. Like, no. Yeah.
with whatever that emoji is that they use for, like, all of those tweets.
Yeah,
The, like, the steam mouth emoji. All right, 6 minutes. Here's my final one for you. This is less of a straight-up show and more just a reboot of a show, but with different... Uh-huh. And this one actually stars the NBA players. This is a reboot of Frasier, but it stars John Barry, Brent Barry, and Rick Barry. Brent is Niles, of course. John is Frasier. And Rick is, of course, the mean dad on the couch saying horrible things as they come in and out.
So Joe, I like that he would also be so jealous of John's radio show. Mm-hmm. Just like, he's a broadcaster. I hate it. John's like, did you listen to my show? And his dad's like, no, because you're worthless. I had a somewhat similar pitch, Joey, and this is about an old assassin who tries to become a broadcaster, and he tries to reconcile the two lives, except he keeps saying racist things on the air. But his signature is that when he shoots people, he holds the gun underhand.
Yeah, yeah, and it's called and Barry, it's right? Like,
yeah, it's called Rick Barry. It's called Barry. And I think that would be a Cinemax show.
All right, guys, 4 minutes.
Rick Barry's old dick.
On Cinemax. Yeah, just Rick Barry's dick, Richard Hatch's dick, just out all the time.
Also, they have the Michael Red shoe diaries, which also using Michael Red's dick. All right.
Yeah, it's him reminiscing, like, that was the hottest woman I ever met in Milwaukee.
Man, back in 2006. Oh, God.
It's always just shots of someone slowly eating a bratwurst erotically, and you're like, I'm not really turned on by this.
By the way, Michael Red was a problem.
No, he was, yeah, walking bucket, steam mouth emoji. All right.
This girl's like, I want you to eat these cheese curds off my body.
Oh my God. I saw one today that I saw some tweet, like, literally, that was very earnestly talking about how Miley Cyrus carried an entire network on her back at 14. And so I saw that shit, and I was like, Miley Cyrus was a fucking bucket.
All right,
that's the stage of course you were at. Right now.
I was listening to Penny Hardaway on All the Smoke a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about how some player was a problem, and I just like added the steam mouth emojis to it in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, All the Smoke is definitely the league leader in podcasts of earnest sayings of so-and-so was a problem.
Well, and they actually have smoke shooting out of their mouths, but not like the emoji. All right. Yeah, let's go. 3 minutes. This is it, guys. Tell everyone where they can listen to, feel free to comment, the Survivor's Remorse podcast.
Well, where do you guys listen to other podcasts? Apple? Do you listen to them on Google? Do you listen to them on Spotify? Because we're on all those platforms.
Hell yeah, Sean. That's how you do a plug. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of reviews do you want them to give?
Yeah. How many stars?
I mean, the rule, you guys know what the rule is. The rule is that iTunes only lets you do 5 stars.
Especially when it's spelled with a Z. Like your guys is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rules like that only apply to some podcasts. It obviously applies to Roundball Rock. I think it applies to us.
It definitely applies to feel free to comment
about that actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one more thing. What do you feel like is the most scandalous thing hinted at if this is really like a LeBron James Ramona clap? You know what I mean? Like this is really
I'm just gonna say it. There's a cameo by Yes Jules. So there you go.
All right. I like it.
All right. 90 seconds. Eric, what else do you want to plug?
LeBronWire.USAtoday.com. You can also hit like my Twitter at Eric_Gunderson. And yeah, read my shit there because it sounds like the NBA is going to come back.
Are you going to the bubble? Is USA going to send LeBron the LeBron wire to the bubble?
Fuck no. No, I'm
the
absolutely
bubble wire.
Bubble wire. Yeah. It's just like talking about what they're eating every day or some shit. Like,
You know what they're eating? Every day is Taco Tuesday in
the bubble. Yeah, in Epcot's Mexico town.
Do you think LeBron's gonna get real problematic if LeBron starts doing the Taco Tuesday shit in the Mexico town at Disney World?
All right,
I just keep imagining him being like, I want someone to drink Dole Whips with. I'm lonely.
Anthony Davis, come on, bro. Go to the Dole Whip. Come
fit in or fit out. Meet me at Tiki Room. All right.
Hanging out with Dwight all the time.
Hiking, you have 40 seconds. Plug what you want to plug.
You can read my stuff at Bleacher Report. I had a piece recently talking to different players about what they think about actually the idea of playing NBA playoff games with no fans. So, you know, I think that was kind of interesting to talk to guys. So I've got that. You can check that out, and you can just follow me on Twitter at Hiken.
Oh, he did it with 18 seconds to spare, and I'll take that.
I'll take those
15 seconds. Listen to, feel free to comment wherever you listen to podcasts. 5-star reviews. Thank you guys so much for coming on. We will have you back on a normal episode where I'm not timing you, I swear.
Absolutely.
And,
but you guys did well under pressure.
There goes the timer. So, I'm going to hang up on you.
Kim Calloway.
That's our episode. Sean Keen, what would you like to plug?
I got a thing about the winners and losers of a big layoff for the playoffs.
Nice.
The biggest winner is the Lopez twins. Spoiler.
Of course. As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on 3/10/15 I tweeted, why does it take me drinking half a glass of something before I realize it's gone bad? Mold should be easier to sense. Iced tea goes bad? Keen, did you write a song?
I didn't, but could you rerun Slovenian Pie?
I will, for sure. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all plug our friends' podcasts and listen to them, please.
Ow, ow, ow!
A long, long time ago, I can still remember when his passes used to make me cry. And I knew if the Hawks were daft, I could steal him in the draft. Sure, maybe we'd be crappy for a while. But our players shattered like cheap pottery. We were headed straight for the lottery. Gaping holes on the roster. We needed one more prospect. But the Nuggets game was often tied. When Luka's free throw went just wide, then Jokic drove from the right side. The day that Luka cried. So bye-bye, Miss Slovenian Pie. It's called Prekmurska Gibanisa. Sometimes there's cabbage inside. If you eat too much, it will go straight to your thighs. And Luka, this is where your playoff hopes die. This is where your playoff hopes die. Did you write the scouting report? And did you think Vlade could play this sport? If Jerry West tells you so. And do you believe in the pick and roll? Can a Euro take it to the hole? And can you teach me how to scout in Kosovo? Well, I know you love Luka Doncic because your favorite player's Petrovic. You wear Tony Parker shoes and you thought Jerry Welsh couldn't lose. Ooh, I love Tony Kukoc on the Bulls. And any last names with 7 syllables. But the Serbian was a handful the day Luka Doncic cried. I started singing bye-bye, Miss Slovenian Pie. It's called Prekmurska Gibanisa, come to cabbage inside. If you eat too much, it will go straight to your thighs. And Luka, this is where your playoff hopes die. This is where your playoff hopes die. Now for 20 years, we have had our dirt. Though Pavel Podkolzin didn't work, shouldn't have picked him. At 20. while we pulled for Ronnie's Psycho Lee, the club DJ version of Spike Lee, who didn't care for Andrea Bargnani. But when the Nuggets drafted Skeeter High, the Eurowell was running dry. Nicholas T sucked ass worse than Eftimios Renzi. As you know, Bruno Sundorf was a slob. The Mavs got nothing from Uwe Blob. And I saw the clip from Worldwide Wob the day that Luca cried. We were singing bye-bye, Miss Slovenian pie. It's called Prikmurskakib, and he said there's cabbage inside. If you eat too much, it will go straight to your thighs. And Luca, this is where your playoff hopes die. This is where your playoff hopes die. Potapenko, Slava Medvedenko, hall pass for Andrei Kirilenko. Primoz Bezek stock was falling fast. Marseille's Lampe never made it. Boris Diaw had to get traded. Sergei Kovalov got drafted last. Well, Mehmet Oker got real paid. AK-47 kept getting laid. Kirapa and Lania were Blazers. And no Greeks ever used razors. Woo! Then Manu won Sixth Man of the Year. And Fran Vasquez disappeared. Then Darko bled piercing his ear the day that Luca cried. We started singing bye-bye, Miss Slovenian pie. It's called Prikmurskakib, and he says sometimes there's cabbage inside. If you eat too much, it will go straight to your thighs. And Luca, this is where your playoff hopes die. This is where your playoff hopes die. Kevin Serafin faded away. Hair plugs got Evan Fournier. Fran Fraschilla left the USA. Johan Petra wasn't nimble, wasn't quick, couldn't jump over a candlestick. Jan Veselý proved he wasn't gay. Oh, and while the Greek freak made a splash, Bargnani wasted Dolan's cash. No angel born in hell could convince that Satan to sell. Ooh, Clint Capella dove to the hoop while Jakob Poeltl joined Pop's troop. And Dwight Powell's defense was pure puke the day that Luca cried. He was singing bye-bye, Miss Slovenian pie. It's called Prikmurskakib, and he says there's cabbage inside. If you eat too much, it will go straight to your thighs. And Luca, this is where your playoff hopes die. This is where your playoff hopes die. I met a guy who scouted film, and I asked what was wrong with him. But he just yelled about the WNBA. I went to the Euro League, the one place left for Marcus Teague. But the coach there said that Marcus didn't play. And still they went in the top 10. Mario Hezonja and Alex Len. Lithuanian stiffs were taken. College seniors were forsaken. And the three men I admire so, Nate Duncan, Danny, and Zach Lowe, they made up fake trades for Gallo the day that Luca cried. And they were singing bye-bye, Miss Slovenian pie. It's called Prikmurskakib, Nisa, and there's cabbage inside. If you eat too much, it will go straight to your thighs. And Luca, this is where your playoff hopes die. This is where your playoff hopes die. They were singing Bye-bye, Miss Slovenian pie. It's called Prickmerstucky Benisa, and there's cabbage inside. If you eat too much, it will go straight to your thighs. And Luca, this is where your playoff hopes die.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.